Hello, thanks for choosing the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson, in for Trevor Dan again this week, and we're talking ARIAs, Bauer Networking, and Ashley Tabor's OBE.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So the Radio Academy's awards are back for a second year. Entries will open soon for the 2017 ARIAs, which again will be held at the Leeds Arena in October. And this week I've been speaking to the former chairman and CEO of Orion Media, Phil Riley. He was previously at Chrysalis for many years, of course, running stations including Heart, Galaxy and LBC. Well, he's back as chair of the judges for the ARIAs. Later we'll get his views on Ashley's upcoming trip to the Palace and Bauer doing a global by bringing in network daytime shows on weekdays. But first, I asked for his reflections on the debut of the ARIAs last year.
Well, I think it was year one, and inevitably the first time you do something, you're going to get some things right and some things wrong. I think cutting back to 15 entries, there was no doubt that everybody felt that the Sonys had become this sort of bloated behemoth, and cutting back was probably the right thing to do. But I suspect in the end, and I only came in to help sort of pull the judging panel together, so I wasn't involved in selecting that first 15, but I suspect in cutting back to the absolute core 15 things that you can't possibly not have, you end up being slightly tilting the field in favour of established, large, dare I say, state-run broadcasters. And we did see probably a greater emphasis on the BBC in the awards when they were eventually handed out than perhaps everybody would have liked. And I think we've gone a long, long way this year to trying to redress that balance in a perfectly sensible and fair way, not tilting the table too far the other way, but just ensuring that everybody thinks that we're doing this in the most sensible, fair way that reflects the industry as a whole.
And of course, you've got the Arkivas not happening, so some categories that perhaps would have normally been in the Commercial Radio Awards have come over to the ARIAs.
Yes, I think that's the second element to it, that we need to ensure that these awards truly reflect the whole of the industry, given that there isn't a second set of awards that just reflects one particular sector. And I think we've done three things to change the structure. The first is to dramatically reduce the fee that you need to pay to enter the awards. It's now £25 plus VAT, so £30. And that means it shouldn't be a barrier to anybody to enter these awards. And I think it now means that if you're a producer or a presenter on a show, no matter what size of station, and you think what you're doing is worth flagging up to people for a possible award, the cost of £30 means anybody can enter. And it would be amazed that you've got any bosses who said, no, I'm not going to let you enter, even if you want to pay your own £30. So hopefully that will democratise the award entry process. I think that's the goal there, is to say to everybody in the industry, it's inconceivable if you have something that's worth entering that you shouldn't want to enter it, given the barrier to entry is so low. So that's the first big change. I think the second change is to broaden the categories. And if you look at, there are 23 categories, 21 of them are sort of nominee categories that are being judged, and the last two are sort of open to members for voting on. But if you look through the categories, presenters, best show, best podcast, news coverage, sports presenter, speech presenter, sports show, marketing, specialist music, entertainment, factual, community, online, outside broadcast, promotion, etc. They, I think, cover the whole waterfront of UK radio. And I don't think anybody could say that the award categories are biased in favour of one sector over another. I think they cover the waterfront in a pretty fair and balanced way. And that everybody in the industry should look at the categories and say, yeah, there's two or three there that my station or my company can enter. So I think we've done a good job in broadening out the categories without getting to the point where we did get to with the Sony, is where we were just adding more and more categories and it became rather unwieldy. I think we've got a nice balance there between covering the waterfront, giving everybody a shot without being sort of massively overextended in terms of sheer numbers. And the final third thing that I think we've done differently this year is to say to the judges, what we are going to do in terms of nominations is to separate the entries into two pools, a pool A and a pool B. Pool A is the BBC and the independent sector servicing the BBC, and Pool B is the commercial sector, the community sector, podcasters and everybody else that doesn't fall into Pool A. And what we are going to do is, as part of the judging process, the judges are going to do exactly as we did last year. They're going to judge all the entries with exactly the same rubric and the same scoring methodology. And then we're going to take the best three scoring from Pool A and the best three scoring from Pool B. And we're going to ask the head judge and the judges to have a conference call at the end and say, right, here are the six best, three from Pool A, three from Pool B. You pick the gold, silver and bronze from these six. And these six are going to be the nominees that go through to the final. They're going to have their name in lights, but the best three will get gold, silver and bronze. And just to be absolutely clear, I've said to the head judges, if the best three entries are all from Pool A, then they're the ones that get gold, silver and bronze. If the best three entries are from Pool B, then they're the ones that get gold, silver and bronze. Do not think that you have to mix and match. The best three should get the gongs. But we are going to have a set of nominees on the night that reflect the whole breadth of the UK radio experience, both commercial, community, BBC, independent. Everybody will be represented in those nominees. And I think that really is trying to get the best, fairest, levelest playing field while still saying the best three are going to be the ones walking away with the awards.
And I guess it was a victim of the fact that everything did get stripped back, but there was some criticism that some of those categories and types of categories that were in the Sonys just weren't there last year. And I'm talking perhaps about the documentary categories. They're kind of back in the form of storytelling awards.
They are. And of course, one of the challenges with this in particular is that the whole nature of radio is changing. I mean, I probably spend about a third of my radio listening time now listening to podcasts as opposed to live radio. I still count it as listening to produced audio. I don't feel I'm doing something different if I'm listening to a podcast as opposed to listening to Five Live or Free Radio. So I think you have to ensure that the awards themselves reflect that. And we do have, in terms of the categories, the ability for storytelling in all its shapes and forms to be rewarded in the ARIES themselves. So I think we've brought that back. So no one should feel that they're being denied the opportunity for their particular piece of broadcasting not to be acknowledged and rewarded.
And a couple of awards that Radio Academy members will get to vote on as well. So this is Team of the Year and Person of the Year.
Yeah, I think now this is going to be great, isn't it? Because we've not had that before. Or if we have, it would have been a long time ago. I'm trying to remember if we did ever have. I think we may have had some voting at some point in the past, but precisely what that was has sort of slipped from my mind. So this is exciting to be able to do something, I think, new, and particularly because it's so easy these days to be able to capture everybody's votes. Online is such a great way of representing the views of everybody in the industry, and I think it will be exciting to have those. And I suspect, actually, if you become the Person of the Year or the Team of the Year and you're voted for by your peers, you will feel pretty good about that. So I think they're great awards to finish the evening off on.
So overall, as judges, what are you looking for? Is it still all about the standout audio, or is it about the bigger picture of the programme or the person that you're nominating as well?
The audio has got to be at the core of the judging process, and that's reflected in both the rubrics and the instruction to judges and how they judge. But we all know that it isn't just the audio these days. The things that go around the audio, whether it's the online support material or the marketing material, also for certain of these categories will play a part. But the audio is at the core of everything, and I would hope it always will be.
So people can start putting their entries in from the 26th of June, and it's quite important that they follow the rubric for each category that they're entering, yeah?
Well, it's always important. I've got three kids who are just going through the finals of their university degrees, having gone through O-levels and A-levels, etc. And you always say to them, read the instructions. The very first thing you must do is read the instructions. And it's as true with this as anything else. If you don't read the instructions properly, you're liable to miss something.
And that means, you know, even if it says for 30 minutes, don't send 30 minutes and 2 seconds, because you'll be disqualified for that.
That's right. I would say, err on the side of caution as well with audio. If you've got 25 great minutes, don't stick 5 minutes of not so great material on at the end. Leave them at 25 minutes thinking, wow, that was fantastic. It doesn't need to be 30. If what you've got runs for 20 and it's brilliant, then leave it at 20.
Okay, so that's the ARIES. Entries open 26th of June. You can get your entries in until the 4th of August. The shortlists are going to be announced on the 18th of September, and then the big awards night in Leeds on the 19th. And it should be a good night, because it was a bit different last year from the Sonys of old.
It will be, and I think it'll be an even better night. My only worry is actually we get so many entries. We've sort of democratised it so much that we get so many entries that I have the judges moaning at me that they're spending their entire summer listening to entries. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But the night itself, I'm sure, will be a great night.
While we've got you on, Phil, it's always good to get your opinions on the Radio Today programme about various other things. So we'll take the Arias hat off and make this clear. It's not the views of the Radio Academy or anything to do with the Arias. But some big changes coming to Bauer that they've announced last week, networking mid-mornings on most of their stations in England and Scotland. The licences they've got, they've been allowed to do this for a while. Why do you think they've held off?
I don't know why they've delayed doing it. If you look at my track record, you'll know that I never demurred from doing networking if I thought it would add quality and be more efficient and save costs, because you're in a business, you're in a commercial business, and your first duty is to make a profit and keep the business alive and make sure that you can meet the payroll. And I think there's no secret that times are tough in radio. They've been tough for quite some while. And if you've got an opportunity to maintain quality standards but reduce your overheads as a radio manager, I think you've got to do that. So I personally don't see any problem in what they're doing. The only thing I'd quite like to know, why they've only done it partially, really, because they've not done Free and Gem as part of this, have they? It's just the old big city stations in the north. So there must be a practical operational reason why they've not spread it more widely.
Could be contracts, I guess, one of those reasons.
It could be, and it also could just be that they're still treating the Free stations and Gem with kid gloves because they're relatively new into the operation. But no, I personally don't have any problem with it. I know Ashley was castigated, wasn't a few years ago, for that statement, there aren't 25 great mid-morning hosts, so I'm just going to find the best one and put that person on across the Heart Network. But he was right. There's an absolute logic to what he said. So in the end, I think you do end up coming back to that logic in these things.
I guess, though, in the markets where there is already a Capital and a Heart, it puts the Bauer station on a level playing field with them, but it also creates opportunities for other smaller stations. If you look at Leeds, for example, you know, 10 till 2 now in Leeds across Air, Capital, Heart, the programmes are all coming from elsewhere. Does it give an opportunity for those smaller stations, those community stations, to play the local card a bit more?
I think so. And you know, if you go back 25 years and say, oh, let's do it all again and replan it, I would have said, actually, the commercial sector can probably cope with 4 or 5 national networks and a chain of smaller scale local stations, and let's have that. We've sort of got there by default, really, through an awfully complicated process of acquisition and divestment and changes to regulation. But yes, what we've ended up with is a situation where the bigger stations have essentially become more networked. And that does create an opportunity at the local level for smaller stations to slip in under the radar screen and offer something extremely local and hopefully make a living out of that. And there's nothing wrong with that too.
And Bauer's next problem is going to be a name, I guess, because it's probably inevitable now that these stations are going to need the same name. You did it with your stations in the Midlands becoming Free. Global have obviously mastered it. Is a single name the only way now for Bauer to compete with Global?
I think this must be the question that keeps the likes of Graham and Steve Parkinson and Dee and everybody in Bauer awake till the wee small hours. It's probably the biggest question inside that organisation. Do we stick with these brand names that have massive resonance in their localities, the radio cities, metros, etc., or do we go for a single brand name that can be exploited across the UK from a marketing perspective and from a sales perspective and bring in more money? It is the biggest, most difficult question I suspect they've got, and so far they've erred on the side of caution. Whether they can continue to do that into the medium and long term, I don't know. And because I'm not inside Bauer and I don't know what the numbers look like, I couldn't, you know, I think you've got to judge all of these things on the basis of the numbers and the data. And unless you have that in front of you, you can't really make a judgment call.
And while we've got you as well, a word on Ashley Tabor, OBE, if we can. You've known him, you've worked with him for a good few years now. What do you make of him being in the birthday honours last weekend?
I'm delighted for him. It's due recompense for somebody who put his money where his mouth is. I mean, it's very easy for people to knock Ashley because his father was wealthy and helped back him to get into the radio business, but he didn't need to do that. He didn't need to buy into Chrysalis Radio and change it to Global. He didn't need to buy GCAP and merge those stations. He did that because he felt he had a vision, and I think that vision has been absolutely delivered. I suspect that the OBE comes from the more recent work on the Global Academy, and you know, I tip my hat to him on that. What a fantastic project that has been, and what a great way of paying something back into the community from somebody who has worked hard in our business. And I think the current state of the UK radio industry is, I think, commercially reasonably healthy despite it being a very difficult time. And I think Ashley and Stephen and Richard and the rest of the guys at Global have played a very large part in that. And if that means one of them gets a gong, well, you know, good for him.
Thank you, Phil, and congratulations, Ashley Tabor, OBE. In a moment, a look at the rest of this week's news from around the industry.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
It's the Radio Today programme from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson, and elsewhere in radio this week, Thames Radio has ditched all its presenters and turned into a non-stop music station. The London DAB service launched with great fanfare last June, with hosts including Neil Fox, Pat Sharp and Tony Blackburn. The latest Radars showed it reached just 4,000 listeners a week. Owner Nation Broadcasting tells Radio Today it's refreshing the programme lineup and launching Thames Radio's Summer of Non-Stop Hits. Well done to Wise Budder, which has won the pitch to produce the Vanessa Feltz Early Breakfast Show on Radio 2. Another show moving to indie production instead of in-house is the Monday Night Blues Show, which will be made by Something Else. Bob Harris Country and Joe Wiley's Evening Show were both won by the in-house production teams at Radio 2 in the latest commissioning round. Radio 1 has a new head of programmes. Former Chris Moyle show producer Alad Haydon-Jones has been promoted to the role. He's stepping in for Rhys Hughes, who's gone to work on a year-long project for BBC Music. The digital station Cheesy FM is in trouble with Ofcom after playing a Black Eyed Peas song with 8 swear words in. To make it worse, it went out right after Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from the kids' film Mary Poppins. Whoops. The regulator also reported this week that commercial station Isles FM, which serves Scotland's Western Isles, went off air for 3 months between January and April without telling Ofcom. Transmission problems were to blame, but the station's been found in breach of its licence. A date's been set for the next radio conference. It'll be on Monday the 18th of September in central London. The first speakers confirmed include US radio consultant Valerie Geller and Five Lives' Sam Walker. And TBI Media was named Production Company of the Year at the New York Festival's Radio Awards this week. The Indie also picked up the Grand Award in the History category for its World Cup 66 programme, which went out on Radio 2 and on 5 Live. TBI brought back 6 gold trophies in all, and you can read more about the UK successes at radiotoday.co.uk. We'll also find a link to the full list of gold winners from New York. Time now for David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. A number of prominent local football commentators have blown their final whistle in recent months. And this week last year, Tom Ross hosted his final programme in Birmingham.
Leaving this famous radio station has been one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. Although without the opportunity to bring you our award-winning live kick-by-kick commentaries, I know you'll understand the time is now right to take a step back and bow out on a high.
Tom Ross, most recently with Free Radio in Birmingham, but who's been broadcasting on 11:52 AM in its various guises for 35 years. Staying with sport, and actually that gives me an excuse to play my favourite ever sports jingle of all time. S-P-O-R-T. Certainly is. Now, it's a happy 90th anniversary this week to the Wimbledon coverage.
Here we are again in the centre court at Wimbledon, just in time for the end of the semi-final of the men's singles championship. Whilst in Great Britain is playing Cochet of France. They've each won 2 sets and are now 4-all in the final and deciding set. Austin is serving from the committee box and end of the court in the forehand court. He serves down the centre line. Cochet is taken unawares, standing too far to the right. But with one of his inimitable sidestepping movements, he reaches the ball, returns it cleverly to Austin's backhand, deep in the court near the baseline.
A 1930s recreation there of early Wimbledon coverage, which began 90 years ago this week.
Oh, just a minute. Here's a ball boy.
What?
There's a ball boy running out, and he should have stopped by the net.
He should have.
That's better. He's gone back now.
Thank goodness. Now, the club hadn't been very keen on broadcasting from centre court, but eventually the committee gave in, provided the BBC included the order of the next day's play in each evening news bulletin for the whole fortnight. This chap is celebrating his 60th birthday this week.
There was about 4 or 5 people in the lift, and we were stuck, and as you do, we struck up a conversation. I found myself saying, because it was my birthday, the Wednesday. I said, oh, maybe by Wednesday, because it's my birthday. And somebody said, oh, mine's Monday. So we had a laugh about that. And I said, when's yours? Went, oh, months ago.
Danny Baker heard there on BBC GLR, where he began his radio career in 1989. Happy birthday, Danny Baker. Now, if you haven't had quite enough of election matters, this week in 1970, the Tories won a surprise election victory, paving the way for commercial radio.
And the news of the day and of the year, Conservatives' victory over Labour of 30-odd seats. Edward Heath needs now only the official appointment by the Queen and Harold Wilson's declaration of defeat to begin his role as Prime Minister of a Conservative government. The Deputy Conservative leader, Mr. Maudling, suggests that the first task for the Conservative government might be industrial relations and how to improve them.
That bulletin from the Pirate Radio North Sea International, which has changed its name to the iconic Caroline brand and campaigned for that Conservative victory. Staying with the Pirates, this year sees the 50th anniversary of the end of many of the famous offshore stations. And the timing of the law that brought that about was influenced by what happened this week, 51 years ago.
Good evening. Major William Oliver Smedley, MC, has been charged with the murder of Reg Calvert, the head of offshore radio station Radio City. Mr. Calvert was found shot dead in a house outside Saffron Walden, Essex, this morning.
Pirate Radio coverage of the death of Reg Calvert. Oliver Smedley was later acquitted of his murder, and the politicians waded in.
And what has been happening recently shows, I think, that once you accept an area of illegality, you cannot control that area, and one illegality follows another. If we condone pirates, then we accept the possibility of hijackers and everything that follows from that.
There's no end to it, is there? Well, as the political temperature between us and Russia ebbs and flows, let's remember that this week in 1968, the Soviet government began jamming the broadcast from the BBC, the Voice of America, and West German Radio.
Veteran Moscow observers say that when jamming was systematic, the Soviet Union never formally acknowledged its existence.
13 years ago now, and Cliff is causing issues at Gold.
You know, I just wanted reasons for why I couldn't play it. Nobody could give them to me, so I played them.
Bossy sent Tony a final warning. Stop playing Cliff, or else.
He printed the email out, he tore it up live on the radio, threw it across the studio into the bin, and played another Cliff Richard record.
Tony was taken off air.
It was dubbed the ultimate rock and roll rebellion. The veteran DJ, Tony Blackburn, was suspended from his breakfast radio show after a row about Cliff Richard.
It was even discussed in Parliament.
Can I say, Mr. Speaker, that the Leader of the Commons is right behind Tony Blackburn in his choice of music?
I wonder just how many radio presenters have ever been mentioned in the Commons. Cliff and Tony Blackburn doing Gold enormous good this week in 2004, and it's 51 years now that Tony arrived on board his favourite pirate station.
Come on, sing along, sir.
Wonderful Big L, wonderful radio.
So with Heart rebrands for 2CR, Buzz, Champion, Coast, Essex, Invicta, Marcher, Ocean and Southern 8 years ago, the death of Trevor Fry 3 years ago.
I'm Trevor Fry, my friends. As always, you are so very welcome.
And two rivals daring to fight Capital for its London licence 34 years ago.
95.8, Capital FM.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thanks to David, as always, and to my guest this week, Phil Riley. It was like an Orion Media mini reunion, wasn't it? Well, if you've got any comments about what you've heard in this week's podcast, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Stuart Clarkson, and that's Stuart with a U. Trevor Dan will return from his travels next week. Hope you can join us for that. Thank you for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.